This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Frank Lesser wrote the great musicals Guys and Dolls and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. One of his musicals that isn't nearly as well known is now being revived by the New York City Opera. It's called The Most Happy Fella, and it's about as different from Guys and Dolls as a musical can be. The Most Happy Fella is inspired by Italian opera. It's set in the Depression, in a California vineyard, where a lonely waitress becomes the mail order bride of an older man, who she betrays, only to later truly fall in love with him. My guest is the star of the original 1956 Broadway production, who later became Lesser's wife, Jo Sullivan Lesser. Here she is from the original cast recording. She's just told her husband that she's pregnant with another man's baby, and although she now loves her husband deeply, she knows she must leave him.
Please let me tell you that I love you. Just one more time before I go. Let me tell you that I love you, 'cause it happens to be so.
Jo Sullivan got the part in The Most Happy Fella while she was performing in the first New York production of the Threepenny Opera with Lottie Lenya.
The producers saw me, and then they dragged Frank down to see me. And then after that, I auditioned about 20 times. And in those days, there were about three of us that sang all the soprano roles. You know, in those days, the sopranos, the leading ladies, were little blondes. And one was Barbara Cook, and one was Florence Henderson, and one was myself. So we all auditioned, but I guess I was more Southern. I sounded more like a waitress than the other two, so I got the part.
What did you do each of those 20 times? I mean, were the auditions different from time to time?
I would sing the same song some of the time, but he would have you do something that absolutely drove you nuts. He would have you sing Happy Birthday to You, and he would have you sing it higher and higher and higher and higher. We would have to go, "Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday," till you almost hit the ceiling. And that's how he would find out if you could go up there.
So what was he like to work with that first time before you were married to him? Did he give you a lot of direction about how he wanted the music sung or what he was thinking when he wrote it?
Frank gave everybody a lot of direction about how he wanted the music sung. He would tell us, make us stand and even tell us when he wanted us to raise our head or to raise our right hand. And naturally, he gave us a lot of very good vocal things to do. The words were very important to Frank too. He loved the words, because when he wrote a piece, he always wrote the words first, and then he would write a melody. And he used to say to me, "I don't pay any attention to this melody. It may not be the right one. It's just a dummy melody. Just listen to the words." So then, after he decided that the words were correct, then he would work on his music and develop that. And he was very, very particular to every single person in the cast about how they sang his music.
You know what I find interesting about that? There are so many composers who write dummy lyrics. They write lyrics that just kind of save the place. They're mock lyrics. And then after the melody is all done, they'll write the real lyrics. But I've never heard of a dummy melody before.
Oh, I think that it's much more important to write the lyrics first, because in my book, the lyrics are the most important thing. I mean, that tells a story. That's what you really, really got to work on. And anybody that sings a song and holds up a sheet of music in front of them and doesn't know it and doesn't know the words, I figure is not singing the song.
I want to play more music from the original cast recording of Most Happy Fella, which you're in. And there's a song in this that's quite lovely called Somebody Somewhere. And this was actually a replacement song for a song that he had originally written called Wanting to Be Wanted. I'd like you to talk about both of those songs and why he decided not to use Wanting to Be Wanted.
Well, we didn't even know that Frank had written another song instead of Somebody Somewhere until about 10 or 12 years ago, because we were going through all his music, organizing it correctly, making sure everything was exactly in the right place, exactly the right year, exactly for the right show. And we came upon this song, Wanting to Be Wanted. And it's such a beautiful song. And we were all amazed that he had written that and not used it. But then we looked at Somebody Somewhere and realized that he had taken the verse of Wanting to Be Wanted and used that, Wanting to Be Wanted, and then sang Somebody Somewhere for the chorus. And so he was able to use both of them. And why he did it, I'll never know, but I guess he was just pleased with it, but, you know, was happier with it that way.
The original song, the one that he cast out and didn't use, is much darker than the replacement song that's in the show. And why don't we think about that as we hear them both back to back. First, we'll hear you in the original cast recording singing Somebody Somewhere, and then we'll hear you nearly 40 years later singing the original song, the darker song that Frank Lesser wrote, the one that he did not use for the show. So here's Joe Sullivan Lesser.
Wanting to be wanted, needing to be needed, that's what it is, that's what it is. Now I'm lucky that somebody somewhere with me until today. Suddenly I'm necessary to someone. It's a feeling I've never known. I'm necessary to someone who cried for me.
That's Joe Sullivan Lesser singing two songs written by her late husband, Frank Lesser. The first is from the original cast recording of The Most Happy Fella, which was recorded in 1957. Then we heard her singing in a 1992 recording, a song that he wrote for the show but decided not to use. Now, it was during the making of The Most Happy Fella that you and your husband fell in love. I mean, you met through the show. I imagine that's when you fell in love because you got married afterwards.
Yeah, we did, yes.
So at what point did you realize that you were more than his star and he was more than your director?
Well, you just couldn't work with Frank and not sort of fall in love with him. He was enchanting. He was, I admired his work greatly. He was very, very funny. He was witty, and he was just a wonderful, wonderful human being to be with. And both of us were not exactly happy in the arrangements we had. Both of us were married. And so we just sort of got together after that. We spent so much time together during the show. We were out of town for 2 months before we opened in New York. And then I played the show a year and a half in New York. So we spent a lot of time together.
Did you try to keep it hidden during the show?
Well, of course. Everyone, naturally. But there was a spark there, I think. People sort of knew it. And we were married 2 years after the show, after I left the show in 1960. I have to think of the year. My. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be married to a composer. I didn't sing after that for 17 years because he didn't want me to sing. He wanted me to be with him and go where he went. And we had two beautiful children, two girls. And so, but it worked out fine. I was very happy.
Well, how did you feel about giving up performing? You have such a beautiful voice.
Well, thank you very much. I frankly didn't even think about it. I was very busy going to all the shows with them and listening to what was going on and seeing how things were working out and taking care of two children. And Frank was a handful, I have to say.
In what sense?
He demanded a lot of attention. He wanted to make sure we went on trips and listen to this. He wanted me to listen to that piece or listen to this piece and learn that piece for him and see if it sounded right. And I played the piano, and I would play parts of it for the piano with him to see if it was right. And he was a handful. He used to go to bed at 12 o'clock at night, and around 12, and get up at 4 in the morning. And from 4 in the morning till 8 o'clock in the morning, he would write and on a silent piano, thankfully. And that's because the telephone couldn't bother him. He could write and compose and be completely clear about that. He would also get in the car, and you would drive him around, and he would write in the car because the telephone couldn't get to him, too, at the same time. So then in the morning when I would get up, 7:30 or whatever, he would be having a martini and I would be having a cup of coffee because he'd been up for 4 hours. So he was having lunch and I was having breakfast. It was kind of a funny arrangement.
My guest is Joe Sullivan Lesser. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Joe Sullivan Lesser, the widow of Frank Lesser, and the star of the original 1956 production of his musical The Most Happy Fella. It's now being revived by the New York City Opera. Frank Lesser was a kind of interesting singer himself. He recorded some demos that were a few years ago put together on CD, and I really love that recording. So I thought we could pause here and listen to one of them. I thought we'd hear him singing something he wrote for Guys and Dolls, I'll Know. But before we hear it, what did you think of these demos? And did you have any of his demos when you were preparing to perform in Most Happy Fella?
No, we did not. We did not. But we put that album together to make sure that he sang. I thought he sang terrific. I mean, let's face it, he didn't have a very beautiful voice. But he certainly knew how to put a lyric over. I mean, you could see how important the lyrics were to him. And I think it shows on this album. I think it's great fun to listen to.
No, me too. Well, let's hear it. This is Frank Lesser singing one of his songs from Guys and Dolls, I'll Know.
I'll know when my love comes along. I'll know then and there. I'll know at the sight of her face. How I care, how I care, how I care. And I'll stop and I'll stare. And I'll know
That's Frank Lesser on an album of demo records that was put together called An Evening with Frank Lesser. My guest is his widow, the singer Jo Sullivan Lesser, and she was in the original production of his 1956 musical, The Most Happy Fellow, which is now being revived by the New York City Opera. You know, we heard Frank Lesser singing one of his songs. What was his attitude towards singers and musicians who took liberties with either his lyrics or the music? And I'm talking about on their own records. I'm not talking about when they were appearing in a production of one of his shows.
I don't think he cared when they were on a record. I know that he used to say to me, "Oh, let them do that. That song is so famous it doesn't make any difference." That would happen often. But if you did decide that you were going to do something and change the way you sang or whatever, his rhythm or whatever he wrote in a show, then there was a lot of trouble. And in How to Succeed, he had such a fight with Rudy Valley. You know, Rudy Valley had been singing for many, many years and said, "Listen, I don't need anybody to tell me how to sing a song." Well, Frank said, "Well, you're going to sing my song this way." They almost came to blows. But the fact was that Frank quit the show, which when he came home, I said to him, "I think you've gone a little far this time, Frank, for God's sakes." But he quit the show, and they had to beg him and cajole him to come back, and of course he did. And then when they were recording, when they made the movie of Guys and Dolls, Frank Sinatra would not sing the songs the way Frank wanted him to. And Frank wrote him a great song called Adelaide. And Sinatra and he never spoke after that. They had such a fight that they never spoke after that movie.
What exactly was the fight about?
Because Sinatra would not sing Frank's songs the way he wanted him to.
The melodically or lyrically?
He was going to croon him more than that, and Frank didn't like it and didn't think it suited the part.
Oh.
And well, I think he was right.
So who won in the movie of Guys and Dolls? Was it Sinatra or Frank Lesser?
I think that Sinatra sang it the way he wanted to.
Now, your husband, Frank Lesser, died at, what was he, like 59?
59 years old, yes.
Of lung cancer after you were married about 10 years.
Yes, we were.
And he left to you, his publishing company, which was publishing rights to all of his songs?
Yes. He left to me his publishing company. He was a superb businessman, and he'd built himself up a little empire. And he left me a company that leased shows to all the schools and stock and everything, and a publishing company. And in that publishing company, he had many young composers that he had helped and sponsored their careers. And one is Richard Adler, who wrote Pajama Game with Jerry Ross. And that's a big hit on Broadway right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Meredith Wilson and Bob Wright and Chet Forrest and Charlie Strauss and all of these young men he helped. And I really admired that a great deal. Frank's motto for composers was improve the breed. And he tried to. And I wish people would do that today. I wish somebody would really help all these wonderful young composers that are coming up and give them money so they can write and they can work. So I wish somebody would do that.
So what were some of the difficult decisions you had to make about rights to his songs and rights to his musicals?
Well, I remember that he told me, first of all, we never allowed anyone to sing Adelaide's Lament on television. And Frank told me that don't let them sing the big songs too much. Save them for big moments because they'll ruin it. So I keep Luck Be a Lady. Every week, two or three times, somebody calls and wants to do Luck Be a Lady. And I don't let them do it. Very, very seldom do I.
My guest is Jo Sullivan Lesser. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Jo Sullivan Lesser. Her husband was Frank Lesser, the great songwriter, and she was in the original production of his musical, The Most Happy Fella, which is now being revived by the New York City Opera. And I should mention that the original cast recording from 1957 that Jo Sullivan Lesser is featured on is still in print and available. Before you did Frank Lesser's The Most Happy Fella, you were off-Broadway in the original New York production of the Kurt Weill Bertolt Brecht musical The Three Penny Opera. And this was the production that Mark Blitzstein wrote the translation for. It's a really famous production. Really
ran for 5 years.
Yeah, and the cast recording is still around and still, of course, wonderful. I want to play your duet with Bea Arthur, who eventually became known for her TV role as Maud, and then for her role on The Golden Girls. And this is called the Jealousy Duet because you're both
After Mac the Knife,
exactly,
of course.
Exactly. So we're going to pick this up in the part where you're singing the main part, because it kind of alternates between the two of you. So here it is from The Three Penny Opera, my guest Joe Sullivan Lesser and Bea Arthur.
Yes, they call me Beauty of the Town. See my legs in Saint, now those are pretty. I'm glad you're glad to admire beauty. Note the tree must dangle in the city.
Go paddle your wares somewhere else.
I knew I would make a big impression on my Mackie.
Oh, did you?
You'd be pleased to know I've met his Jackie.
Have you?
Well, you kind of make me laugh.
Now I kind of make you laugh.
Giraffe.
Who would want what big giraffe?
Ah, you are so pitiful, imagining you're beautiful.
Bet you wouldn't ask him.
Certainly I'll ask him.
Go on then, ask him.
You better ask him.
A big, complete girl.
Him leave me falling, sweet girl.
Asinine.
That's my guest, Joe Sullivan Lesser, along with Bea Arthur from the Three Penny Opera production with the original New York production with lyrics translated by Mark Blitzstein. Now, one of the amazing things about this production is that Kurt Weill's widow, Lottie Lenya, was in it. And, you know, watching, after you married Frank Lesser, did you kind of think back to your experiences with Lottie Lenya and how, what her relationship was like with her husband and his work? I know he had already passed away by the time you were in the Three Penny Opera, but still, what she must have spoken to you about what it had been like to work with her husband.
She spoke very little about that. I know that I stood in the wings and watched her all the time because she was superb. The woman was absolutely superb. And I started to sing Frank's songs by then in clubs at the ballroom and in hotels and concerts, etc. And I would never talk about him. I just didn't feel like, oh, I could say anything, you know, like, oh, he always liked to wear a blue shirt and you know, all, you know, things that he did. And so I went to hear Lottie, and she talked all about Kurt Weill, and she told all many stories about him, how he worked, and what kind of a person he was, and their relationship. And I said, and I was fascinated. It was so interesting. And I said, well, I'm going to do that from now on. So I started talking all about Frank, about how he would work and how he'd get up at, you know, at 12 o'clock at night and his martini in the morning, and that he always loved blue shirts and always wore them. And he would write notes. He drew, I must say, beautifully. And he would write me a note and make it like an airplane and throw it through the door, and they'd say, are you ready to go out now? How about it's 8 o'clock? And I have 300 of his drawings that are wonderful, musing. He had great, great wit drawings. And I talked to him about his drawings and showed some of his drawings and did some songs that weren't famous and all of that sort of thing. And Lenya's the one that helped me do that because I saw how interesting it was to know those things.
Well, I'm glad you've kept alive your memories of him and have shared them, and thank you for sharing some of them with us today. Are you still singing?
I haven't, no. I have, I'm running the business, and I have two daughters, and I'm busy with them. So I haven't sung in 2 years. I don't know if I'll sing again or not. I'd love to sing. It's great, but I'll see. I'll see.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
And thank you so much for asking me. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Joe Sullivan Lesser starred in the original 1956 production of Frank Lesser's musical, The Most Happy Fella. It's currently being performed by the New York City Opera. The star is Paul Sorvino.